So today we will be also talking about the same theme that we've been talking for the last few months. The church needs to know, and today I would like to remind every Christian that Jesus is calling again. Jesus is calling again. We know that He's calling every day. He's calling men and women to know Him, to be saved through the gospel. We know that. We know that there are people like you and I and many others in the world that are sharing the gospel. Sharing the gospel to those who have never heard. So Jesus is calling them to be saved. But I would like to open the Bible in the book of Galatians chapter 1, because I believe that there are times where God calls men and women for a specific purpose. Apart from just calling them to be saved. But when we look at church history, we see that there were times, there were moves of God, special ones, where God called men and women in the church, inside the church, for a specific purpose and plan, that they may use them for His will to be done on earth, to bring something to the church and the world, to bring a specific message, to bring specific revelation or doctrine. We've seen that in church history. And I believe that if you have been saved for a while, or you've tried to look at church history, you will agree with me that there were times, specific times, where God chose men and women in the church to move on. You see, the problem with men is that we've got a tendency to satisfy ourselves and to be comfortable in what we have received from God. And this brings us to become religious. It brings the church to become traditional, where there is no more a move of the Spirit. And this is dangerous. That's why every time and many times God has spoken clearly to men and women in the church to move on. One step ahead, one step further. Bring light. You see, God has a plan. He has got a vision. And His vision needs to be accomplished. Man likes it or not, the devil likes it or not, whatever God said would happen, will happen. No one can stop that. And God is dealing with men. That's why when you see the move of God, at a specific time, the grace of God is being poured out, and the church moves on, moves ahead, and then there's a time where it like drops. The move of the Spirit likes, you know, it just falls a little bit, if you see what I mean. And God has got to shake men another time, call men and women, reveal to them what He's got to reveal to them for the church to move on, so that His will be accomplished. And I believe we're living in a time now and in the near future where God is calling again. Calling again. Men and women to move on. Move ahead. There's always been in the church history that God has chosen men and called men to move on so that others will follow. It's always been the case with God. And unfortunately, when God does these things, calls men to move one step ahead, not everyone listens. And not everyone agrees. Because man likes to be comfortable. Even Christians. We like to be comfortable. We like to just to accept that God has done something in our lives. God has shown His light, revealed to us a few things, and we feel that we've arrived and we've got it all. But unfortunately, God doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop there. He moves. His vision has got to be accomplished until the return of Jesus Christ. Everything that has been said needs to be done. The state of the church, when Jesus comes back, whatever He has said has got to come to pass. There's a light that needs to shine when Jesus comes. He's not coming in a time where the church will be completely dull and dead and no life. That's why He moves. That's why He challenges men, calls them, chooses them. That we've seen in the Gospels. When God wanted to start the church and He came on earth, and He chose 12 disciples. He chose them. He called them. They responded to His call. Because He had to do a specific work. We see how God called the Apostle Paul for a specific purpose. We see all those in the book of Acts, like Barnabas, was chosen by God. We see that in Acts chapter 13. When the Holy Spirit set apart Paul and Barnabas for the work of the ministry, the Holy Spirit spoke. He calls on behalf of Jesus. And that's why we are a time today where the church needs to hear what Jesus is saying, what He wants. Now let's read in Galatians chapter 1. You see, things that need to be shaken will be shaken. There's no doubt about that. Galatians chapter 1 verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. You see, when it pleased God, when the time comes in the calendar of God to do something, He does it. He does it. We've seen in church history, in the last 40 years, that God brought new revelation. We've seen the rise of the Pentecostal church. We've seen the rise of the Pentecostal move of God, where the Holy Spirit was the main person during that move that would take the church into another dimension. Then we saw the charismatic move of God in the late 70s and beginning of the 80s. We've seen that. We've seen restoration of doctrine. We've seen that God brought greater light on the doctrine of faith. We've seen many things. And we enjoyed it. And we praise God for it. And it was good. It was a great time of the Spirit. A time of grace. But then what did we see? Today, somehow, many of you won't agree with me, But that's okay. What do we see today? We see a church that has lost its power, lost its holiness, lost its separation from the world, lost that work of grace. And what has replaced it? Compromise, sin. And it's sad to see what is going on in the church today. That's why I believe that God is and will be calling again men and women, that He would reveal the gospel, that He will bring light unto them, challenge them, work in them, cause them to respond to His call and His choice, and lead them to preach the gospel, and lead them to live the true gospel, and lead them to defend the true gospel. That's why I believe we are in a very, very important time. And you might be listening to me right now, and you are feeling in your heart that there must be something more to Christianity, that there must be something more for my Christian life. You know why you are feeling these things? Because God is busy choosing and calling people like you, men and women like you, in the whole world, so that you understand that there is another move of God, there is another challenge from God, and there is another move of the Holy Spirit busy taking place now and in the future. Amen. It's not by chance and coincidence that you are feeling that there must be something else, something deeper, something more for the Christian life than just being comfortable and that just accepting everything that comes and goes in the church. The Holy Spirit is at work. The Holy Spirit is knocking at the door of the hearts of many people, Christians, pastors, leaders of churches, men and women in the old world. The Holy Spirit is at work. There are many things happening in the Spirit that we don't see. Many challenges God is bringing to men and women today. Many are not satisfied about their own Christian life. They love the Lord. You love the Lord. You love Jesus Christ. You are ready to pay the price somehow to live for Him and accept whatever He wants to do. Deep down in your heart, there's an eagerness. There's something that is rising up in your heart, knowing that there is a new step coming. Something else is coming to the church. Let us not sleep and accept that everything is done and that Jesus is coming without something else that needs to happen and that will happen to the church of Jesus Christ. It's time. The time is now. And in the future, there's a knock at the door of many people, many Christians, young people, men and women that are tired, that are not ready to accept that this is the church of Jesus Christ. So what are we seeing today? It's much about men's philosophy. It's a lot and much about emotional manipulations. Today there's much about money-orientated gospel. There's much about legalistic gospel. And we can go on and on. But that's not the point. The point is, there is a wave. There is something new. There is something good that the Holy Spirit is about to speak. Speak to the hearts of men and women. He is able. He is able to speak in the whole world. To Christians, young people, that would be on fire for Jesus. Men and women, Christians, that would not accept to continue to live that type of Christian life where material things are the issue and the main theme of Christianity. How long is it going to last? Let me tell you something right now. Maybe you are not aware, but the Holy Spirit is at work. There's a lot being done, a lot of preparation being done in the Spirit that you and I, we don't see. We don't see. We don't know what's in the heart of man. God knows. We cannot see and read what is in the heart of man, but all I can tell you today is that there is a great work of preparation being done by the Spirit of the living God in the hearts of men and women and young people in the whole world to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ that He wants to bring in this church. There's a lot God is preparing. There's a lot of preparation being done before the call. Many people are being shaken. Many people, their foundation is being shaken. They don't know what's happening to them. They don't know why they are not feeling happy about the things that they hear. They don't understand what's happening to them. Some people might even feel that they are rebellious. Just because in your heart, you are not happy about the things that you are hearing from the pulpit. You might think that you are an independent person because your heart does not flow with those that are preaching the gospel that does not satisfy your heart. Lots of questions about yourself. Lots of questions about your own life. You know your Christian life is not what it should be. You don't have the solution. It's like you want to move on, but you don't move on. It's like you want something more from God, but nothing is happening. Hundreds of questions in your mind about your state of heart, yourself, your dissatisfaction. And let me tell you something, that's not rebellion. That's not independence. There's something happening in your heart. Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling again. Now let me tell you something. We're not talking about just ministries here. We're talking about Christians. Christians. I'm glad Jesus is calling again. And a choice will have to be made. And a choice will have to be made from all those who hear what Jesus is saying. What the Holy Spirit is saying. Not everyone will be called. No. Not everyone will be called. Don't think that because you are a Christian, that every single Christian in the world will be called in that next step move of the Holy Spirit that is starting now and coming in the future. Not all will be called, and not all are called today. Many will hear, and many will oppose. Like in the days of the Apostle Paul, you will see more and more the enemies of the cross. You will more and more see rise up men and women who will become enemies of the cross, of the gospel of the cross. That's what Paul says in Philippians. Maybe you can read it with me. In Philippians chapter 3, in the days of the Apostle Paul, revelation was flowing, flowing. God had brought light to the church. The revelation of the gospel was being preached everywhere, in all the churches. But how now?
We read in chapter 3, verse 17, "Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk." Now, you must understand that the Apostle Paul is talking here from the verse 17, following of what he said from verse 1 in chapter 3. And he says how he wants to know Christ more in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And then he talks about his goal to become perfect in Christ, his goal to live the true gospel, his goal to allow God to continue the work that he has started in his life. He knows at that very time he has not finished the race yet. He knows it because he's talking about the perfection that he wants to attain in his spiritual life. He knows it. He knows there's still lots to do, to be done in his life, even if he carries the revelation of the gospel. And that's one of the problems of the church today, because we feel that we know everything. We do not care about what needs to happen in our own lives. We don't understand that the ministry is directly linked to what's happening in our own life deep inside. We don't understand that everything is related and linked together. But the Apostle Paul knew. He understood that very well. He talks about it in Corinthians as well. But here we see in verse 17, he follows on what he has just expressed about what needed to do to happen in his life by God himself. And he says, "Brethren, join in fellowship," or "join in following my example. Join in fellowship with me." In other words, follow me. Have the same attitude of heart. Have the same mind. Have the same conviction. Follow my example and not those who so walk. In other words, choose them. Look at them. Seek for them. Those who walk like me. Those who are so determined like me. Those who are so convinced or convicted like me to finish the race the proper way and to preach the gospel with my life totally linked with what I preach. He says, look for this man. Join in following my example and note those who so walk. In other words, not all walk like him. He says, note those. Check on them. Check their life. Don't just listen. Note. Note their desire. Note what they want. Note the change in their lives. Note what God is busy doing in their lives. And we're talking seriously here. As you have us for a pattern. As you have us for a pattern. This is serious here. Hey? For many walk, of whom I have told you often. It's as if the Apostle Paul warned them many times that not all of them, not all preachers, not all leaders, not all Christians will be ready to walk that way. To accept the message, to accept the challenge of the Christian lifestyle. And now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. You see, these men, these women, or whoever they were, they will always rise up. Always. Always rise up. You will always have people inside the church that will rise up and oppose what God wants to do when he moves. Always. If you go in church history, go and look, go and read about it, you will see from Luther right up to now, the day we are talking here, there's always been enemies, opposition to what God wanted to do. From the church itself, inside the church. When I got born again in 77, I got born again. And I was a witness of what happened in the church during that time. I was a witness. It was the start, or it has already just started, that God was doing a new thing. God was picking and choosing and calling men of God, leaders of churches and Christians to move ahead. And there was a lot of shaking. A lot of things happened because there were men and women who were ready to respond to that call and move on. And many left their denomination. Many left their denomination because somehow the door was closed for more that God wanted to do in their midst. And at that time there was an opposition from those who didn't want to move ahead, for those who wanted to close the door to what God wanted to do. There was a shake-up in the church. How could God do that? God could have done it a smoother way, gentle way. He could have called everyone. He could have prepared the heart of everyone so that everyone would accept to move. But it didn't happen that way. It never happened that way. Those who didn't want opposed those who wanted. Those who opposed, they opposed those who were called. Can you see? And we're going to leave that same situation now and in the days to come. Absolutely. We are going to witness those who oppose the message. The true message of the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, in the time of the Apostle Paul, what did he preach? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, he himself says, I preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. The message of the cross was the foundation of Christianity. God was busy shaking, molding, changing lives of people. There was a gospel that challenged the people. It's amazing. If you understand well Christianity, you will agree with me that there is no relaxing time in the Christian life. There's always movement. There's always some movement. There's always some shaking. There's always something that God wants to pinpoint in our lives. There's always something that God brings to light in our own lives, in our couple, in our family, in our relationship with men and women, in ourselves, our personal life. There's always things that God brings to light. Never ceases. Have you noticed that? It doesn't stop all the time. Never stops. And there are millions of Christians today that do not even experience what I am talking to you today. They are not even faced with the reality of the gospel. They live their Christian life Never understanding what God needs to do. The shaping. What is the call? What is the call? What we are talking here. Jesus is calling again. Amen. What's the call? The call is directly linked to what Jesus wants to bring. Now listen, we're not talking about the call of God to save. That's something else. All right? That's true. That's something else. We're talking about the call of God. Jesus calling, picking, choosing men and women, opening their hearts, bringing them to see the revelation of the true gospel of the cross of Jesus Christ. Because he wants to do something new. He wants to bring to the church to maturity. That's what we read in Ephesians chapter 4. When Jesus gave ministries to the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. For the perfection of the saint, for the work of the ministry. So that we all come to the unity of the faith. That's a purpose. That's a purpose. There is a maturity, a perfection that God wants to bring. No superficiality. Not running after material things. Not understanding the Christianity as a life where, you know, you can just add to yours. There is a revelation that the Lord is bringing, busy preparing, calling, choosing, sowing, planting in the hearts of men. There's a truth. There's a revelation that Jesus wants to bring to the church. And he's calling men and women to rise up. To hear it. In Galatians chapter 1 verse 11, the Apostle Paul talks about the revelation that he received from Jesus Christ. He wasn't taught it. He didn't learn it from any man. He received it from Jesus Christ himself. That's what he says. That's what he declares in Galatians chapter 1 verse 11. And I believe that Jesus Christ himself will choose, will pick, will put men and women aside and reveal to them in many ways, the way he wants, reveal to them the true gospel of the cross of Jesus Christ. So we are going to very soon hear more and more about the preaching of the cross, going back to the cross. Back to understand that our life is not ours anymore. It's lost. Same attitude and revelation that was present in the early church, which caused the Christians to respond, to give their lives, not to hold on to anything. Anything and even their own lives. That was their conviction. They were not led by chains to do things that they were doing. They were not slaves to do things. But their heart has been saved by God. Captured by the Holy Spirit. They saw the vision of the church. They saw the Christian life. It was like a film in front of them. There was a conviction in their hearts. That's why it's only the gospel that can bring that conviction. The true gospel of Jesus Christ. The cross, the preaching of the cross. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the preaching of the cross is the power of God. Not only to save people, but to change us as Christians, to bring us to perfection. We are going to hear more and more about men seeking. What's happening to me? Is what I understand real? There are things that God is speaking to me. I've not never heard what it's all about. Have you seen that? Did you hear that? Men and women will start to read from the scriptures and identify themselves to what they read and be ready for it. Scripture is going to become alive more and more. Jesus is busy. He knows every single person that he has chosen, that he has called. He knows everyone. Oh, I love it. I love what the Lord is busy doing. Because I know that more and more I will hear. I will hear about this man, that woman there, that church there, that preacher down the road. Yeah. I will hear, and you will hear, and we will all hear. It's great. We will see different men behind pulpits acknowledging where they are and what God needs to do in their own lives. You know, it's not a criticism nor a judgment, but so many times we hear from the pulpit great things, exciting things, but we seldom hear about things from preachers where they open their lives about what God needs to do in them. You see, hype, excitement, and all this type of thing is still going to exist. But among this, Jesus will call and remove men and women from it. There will be a desire for something new, something deeper. There will be a challenge in their own lives for something much, much deeper. And we can only define that as the call of God. Yeah. As the choice of God. Men and women, young people, preachers, pastors of churches will start understanding that the Christian life is a loss of one's life so that Jesus may live in us. So that Jesus may live in us. Amen. Resurrection life. Triumphant life. He rose from the dead, triumphing over sin and death. He rose from the dead, victorious over the enemy. Victorious over sickness and disease. Victorious over sin and death. The church will more and more understand that it is no more us, but Him. Amen. This is what the Holy Spirit will demonstrate and testify and acknowledge Jesus living in us. It's His life. It's Him. And God won't accept anything else. Because this is what He has designed and declared He will do. So that we understand that it's no more any one of us here. nothing of us. It's him. We lose everything. We lose our life. Remember the words of Jesus. If you want to keep your life, what will happen to it? You'll just lose it. But if you are ready to lose it, what will happen to you? You'll find it. Amen? If you want to lose it, you'll find it. It's very simple. And more people, Christians, leaders of churches, are going to acknowledge that this is the gospel. That this is the lack in the church. That this is the void that is existing in the church. And we're trying to hold on to many things. We're trying to manufacture and bring about things. Trying to push our way through the door. Trying to make our way, force it in some ways. To try and leave something real with God. We're putting more and more legalism on people. And more God is going to bring the light that we've got to run away from any legalistic approach to serve the Lord. It's worthless. It's worthless. And we are living in a time that even in the world there are more laws added. Do you agree with that? More and more laws. In the world circle. And it's amazing how in the church as well, we're trying to put more and more laws on people's lives. You see, we run away from the gospel of the cross. We run away from what God wants to do in our lives, and we want to put people under pressure, under law, under legalism. Lord help us. There will be more and more men and women who are ready to pay the price. When we look at the teachings of Jesus Christ, we can read between the lines that serving Jesus is a price to be paid. It has never been any other way taught in Scripture. It has always been a price to pay to follow Christ. Always. It comes with the persecution, it comes with the suffering, it's come with the loss of your life, it's come with anything. But in all things, God gives us the victory. In all things. And then we start to understand the revelation of God's grace for our lives. Many, many men and women will be ready to accept what God wants to do in their lives. They will catch the revelation. They'll catch. God himself will put it in their hearts. God will draw them to those who are preaching it. God will draw their heart in many ways. He's got many ways to do it. To make them come into contact with the gospel of the cross. Yeah? He will make it happen. We can't make it happen. God can do it. He'll do miracles to do it. He will draw men to be in contact with others. Men and women, young people, to be in contact with those who preach the gospel. Many ways God is going to use. We're not going to limit God. But all we are saying is that God is preparing. Christians are going to understand that God wants to mold them to the image of His Son. Molds them to the image of His Son. In Colossians chapter 3, maybe we can read that together. Verse 5. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. In other words, God hates it. In other words, the wrath of God is going to come upon the people in the world, sons of disobedience. That's their lifestyle. That's the way they are. That's their inheritance. That's a product of the nature of sin. And as we come into the kingdom of God, here is what the order is. The order is what? Put to death. Put to death. Your members. In other words, put to death your flesh. The desires of the flesh. Continually. You see, it's one thing. Christianity is not just the fact that Jesus brought some little change in our lives when we were born again. Because we all can testify some things that God has done in our lives that we were delivered from. Some of us were delivered from all sorts of things. Idolatry. Religion. Witchcraft. Alcohol abuse. Drug abuse. Fornication. All sorts of things that we were doing in the world. And somehow the Lord delivered us from these things. But my friends, it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there because God gave us the grace to deliver us from these things. And Christianity is not just the fact that God has done some things in our lives when we were born again. It's more than that. It's a total identification with Him. From the day Jesus Christ started to suffer, from the day Jesus Christ was born on this earth, we know the price and the cost that it took. The Bible in Philippians talked to us about how He humbled Himself, how He took the form of men. And on we see how He suffered. He accepted everything. He took the sins of the world. He bore our sicknesses. He suffered and shed His blood. From that day on that Jesus started to suffer. And when He died on that cross and rose again from the dead, our lives started right there and then. Now open your Bibles with me in Romans chapter 6, I'll show you. You see, there's a Christian message that says, take all the good things that Jesus done for you. And that's it. But that's not scripture. Romans chapter 6, we read together, verse 3. Let's read from verse 1. It's very interesting. Are you following here? Okay. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You see, now you're talking about law and grace. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Now he replies to the question right here and there. And he says, no ways. How can we who died? That's what he says here. We died to sin. How can we who died to sin live in it again? Or continue to live in it? And then he goes on and he says, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, we were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You see, we were buried with him. That talks about a lost life. That talks about our identification with him. From the beginning. That's why the Apostle Paul, in his epistle, he talks about partaking to the sufferings of Christ. He says, I'm ready. I'm ready to partake to the sufferings of Christ, if need be, add to it. He knows he can't. You understand that? He knows that the work of Christ on the cross, his sufferings and in his death were complete. Because he rose again triumphantly. He grows again victoriously. Which proves that the work that he has done was complete. And the Apostle Paul does not have any intention to add to the sufferings of Christ. But it's an attitude of heart where he wants to identify himself to the sufferings of Christ. That's why in this verse 4 at the end of it, he says, we also should walk in newness of life. Newness of life. Now he's talking about resurrection life. You see, if you partake to his sufferings and you partake to his death, you partake to his resurrection. When you partake to his resurrection, it's no more you who live, it's Christ who lives in you. That's why now it's no more you, it's newness of life. It's him. It's no more him. It's no more you. No. Our life is buried to sin. Dead to it. So you can't bypass the fact that our life is an identification to Christ in his fullness. You can't just evade from that. You can't take it from the Bible. Can you see? And that's the message. That's the message the early apostle preached. That's the message Apostle Paul preached. Amen? Can you see? That's the reason why Jesus is calling again. He's calling men and women again to this gospel. We call it the gospel of the cross. I call it what you want. That's not the purpose of giving it a name. But that's the gospel. Call it the gospel of Jesus, call it the gospel of Paul, because even the Apostle Paul talks about this gospel as my gospel. So call it what you want. That's not the problem. If you want to call it your gospel, you're still okay if you want to live it. Anyway, that's the gospel I leave. All right? When you say, well, that's my gospel, that's the gospel I leave. That's the one I preach. That's the one I defend. That's the one I'm living for. It's not new. It's not new. Hey? It's not new. I'm reading from the same Bible. It's not any specific version. You'll find it in every version. NIV, New King James, I don't know what else. You'll find it there. But you see, the problem is that, you know, in the days of the early 80s and late 70s, when God started to bring light and bring revelation and bring new doctrine that he wants to to add to the church. What happened? You know, people say, where is that? Why didn't we see it before? Why? I didn't see. I'm a Christian for 25 years. Where was that? Oh. Same thing is going to happen. Same thing is going to happen. When you catch the revelation of the gospel, when you carry the Spirit of Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will read the Bible and you will start to discover things that you have been reading for the last 10 years, which now becomes alive. It's not new. No, it's nothing new. It's there. But now revealed. Yeah. Many people are going to start seeing. They're going to start seeing. The call. The call is for those who will hear. Not everyone will hear. Not everyone will hear the call. Those who will hear the call. I'm not saying those who will hear it. Will hear the revelation. I'm talking about those who will hear the call. When you get the call, then you understand that God is seeking for your life. You can hear about it, but nothing happens in there. You can hear about it and become an enemy of it. You can hear about it, and it's as if you have not heard. It's like what God did to the Israelites. He blinded their eyes for them not to see, so that we might see. Yeah, that's what he says. He closed their ears so that they wouldn't hear. Because there had to become a time for the church. For you and I, praise God for it. Praise God he blinded them. Praise God he shut their ears so that they wouldn't hear. Some saw, the prophets saw. The prophets of old saw. They identified the grace of God. They identified the cross. But it was not for their time. The time was 2,000 years ago. And now. Because we are still living in the time of the church. And what will happen for those who will hear the call? They will hear it. They respond. They respond. In the midst of everything, they respond. It's amazing how God calls. You know, he walks. He just walks and he sees two guys and he says, hey, you guys, would you like to follow me? The guy says, oh, yeah. Oh, yes, I'll come. They don't understand what's up there. They don't understand what it's all about. But they follow. That's the call. That's called the call. You understand? That's how Jesus does it. That's how Jesus does it. He just picks you. He picks you, gives you a desire to say yes. You respond. You respond, and then he starts to reveal to you this revelation, this gospel, the cross. Our identification to it. Oh, Jesus. And there's one step further. You start seeing what the call is. And now you start to have a desire to live it. You are ready to live it. You count the cost. You look around and you see all these persecutors. You look around and you see all the opposition around you. But still, you want to live it. You can't explain what's happening. Your mind says a lot of things, but your heart says, yes, Lord, I'm going to live it. I'll be ready. I'm ready to pay the price. I'm ready to follow you. I'm ready to live this gospel. I'm ready to be the clay in the hand of the potter. I'm ready to be changed. I'm ready to be shaken. I'm ready to be transformed. I want to become like you, Jesus. You see the need in your life. You see the need. You see yourself. You see what God wants to do in a nutshell.
And one step further. You want to look for those who are living the gospel.
You want to look for those
who preach the gospel.
You want to look for those who live the gospel. Now you start seeking, looking around.
Then clearly you see a line right there between the true gospel of Jesus Christ and any other gospel. Now, does that mean that the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to reject every other truth that we have received, which is from God? No. But the foundation will be the cross of Jesus Christ. Last step. In the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul declares that he has been called to defend the gospel.
Yeah.
He'll defend it. By defending the gospel, you will have to say that this is not right and this is good. You will have to face the persecutors. You will have to face opposition. But it's all by God's grace. No one can do it by himself. No one can stick out his neck and say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to live it. I'm going to defend it. I'm going to do everything. You won't be able to do it because it is only by the grace of God and by the grace of God alone. There's one scripture that I love is when the Apostle Paul says, I am who I am by God's grace. And I preach more than any one of you by God's grace. Amen. Hey, there's a call. Jesus is calling again. Don't feel that what you are feeling, if you are feeling that there is something good is going to happen, that it's from the devil or it's from I don't know where. Jesus is knocking at your door of your heart and he's making you ready. When he calls, when you feel that call, you say, yes, it's me, Lord. I'm the one. I thank you, Jesus, for that call. What a privilege. What an honor. What an honor. Jesus is good for you. He's good for me. Let us be ready. Let us be ready to answer that call. May God bless you all. And we'll see you again. Sometime. Bless you all.